Amen. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction? Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Arise for our help and redeem us. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days. Thus you may acquire many enemies through the prompting of the devil. They begrudge you even the slightest physical or spiritual good. When we notice this attitude in them, our hearts want to retaliate with rage, bloodshed, and revenge. There follow curses and blows, and finally, catastrophe and murder. Here, God steps in and intervenes in a kindly fashion, like a father, in order to settle the strife, so that misfortune is prevented and nobody gets hurt. In short, he intends to protect and deliver everyone and give him security against the outrage and violence of others. To that end, he has set up this commandment as a citadel, stronghold, and a shelter around a neighbor so that no one may do him bodily harm. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, reading from verse 10 through verse 13. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here ends our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is from the letter of the Apostle Paul, second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 11, from verse 19 through chapter 12, verse 9. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I have received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. And such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. For such an one I will glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here ends our epistle reading. The gospel reading for Sexagesima Sunday is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. City, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Here ends our reading. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation
Our text this morning is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 8. I'd like to call your attention at this point to the words he said in verse 8. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Listen up.
Got your attention?
I'm not too sure how familiar a phrase that is for getting people's attention when gathered in groups. I don't know that I had ever heard it until I got the basic training over 50 years ago. I heard it there. Repeatedly. And everybody knew full well what it meant. Grammatically, it's an imperative. When Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," grammatically, that's an imperative too. The problem is, we in English do not have a third person imperative. You can't talk about the other, you can't give you an imperative about him in English. That's why we have, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That third person imperative is often lamented by theologians, saying, you know, we use "let" in English and it makes it sound like we're giving them permission. When in fact, it's an imperative. But I think in context, this phrase, so common, especially in the New Testament, is in fact an invitation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The concept of hearing strings from through the scriptures from the beginning to the end. This phrase in the mouth of Jesus occurs 8 times in the Gospels, in Luke twice, and in the last book of the Bible, in the order we have it, the Revelation of St. John, as it's known, it occurs 8 times there too. The end of each of the letters to the 7 churches concludes with that phrase. And then it occurs also 1 more time there toward the end of the book. The concept of listening is essential to the scriptures, both old and new. Yet today, in Orthodox Jewish schools, the first thing that the children learn in their Hebrew is the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Hearing. That phrase, Shema, is in fact an imperative. And it occurs repeatedly in the Old Testament, thousands of times. Sometimes it's men speaking to other human beings, humans to humans. Other times, and probably most often, it's God speaking. Hear, listen. Sadly, that's often translated, when it's from the mouth of the Lord, as obey. So listen. If you see in your Old Testament reading, "Obey my voice, says the Lord," understand that what the Hebrew says is, listen to my voice. The Word of God. The theme that Pastor chose for his sermon this morning was the miracle of the Word. And the Word of God certainly is a miracle. From the very first page of the Scriptures. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." The existence of the creation is spoken into existence by the Word of God.
God. Again and again as you go through Genesis 1. And God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. A miracle of the Word. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts, says the Lord. In our reading from Isaiah today, my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish that for which I send it. The Word of God brings the universe into existence. He speaks it into being. And it was so. But it is not magic. It is not irresistible to human beings. So the parable of the sower makes plain. So it is that Jesus issues that invitation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And think about the ministry of Jesus, our Lord, and His Word in action. Think about His miracles, when we talk about the miracle of the Word. To a cripple, He said, "Get up, take your bed and go home." And He did. To the deaf ears of a man, He said, "Be open." And they were. He stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, four days dead, and stinking. And He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he got up. John writes at the beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." He is the creative Word of God. In verse 14 of that same first chapter of John, he says, "And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us." That's the revelation of this Epiphany season. The Word of God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. In Him is the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. John 3, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, where does faith come from then? The Apostle Paul has the answer to that in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, if we're going to hear, if we've got ears, where do we go? When Jesus commissioned the church after His resurrection, "Go therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age." It's the church that preserved the written Word of God down through the centuries. Are you going for me? And it's by the written Word of God that we are to judge the word of those who claim to be speaking His word. "Test the spirits," says the Scriptures, "to see if they are from God." Within the church, where He has promised, "Where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am with them also." The church trains its pastors and gives them God's authority to speak His word and administer His sacraments. Sacraments, by the way, one of the early pastors in the church, one of the fathers, known as St. Augustine, called the sacraments the Word made visible. The Word of God, available to our human senses, touch and taste. This is my body, says the Word made flesh, the one who became our Savior, who went to the cross to pay for our deaf ears. Shortly, we will sing the song of Simeon, the man who had held in his arms the Word of God in the flesh, and saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Today, the Word of God in the flesh, we will touch and taste and sing the song of Simeon as we go. The invitation still stands. I am with you always, to the end of the earth, to the end of time, to the end of ages. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
prayers this morning, we include a prayer for the family of Kathleen O'Connell, Teresa Schar's mother, who died on February 6th. We also include Pastor Stoltz in our prayers, and a prayer for us who will be communing this morning. Let us pray. O Lord God, you are the great physician of soul and body. You chasten and you heal. We beg you to show mercy on your servant, Pastor Stoltz. Spare his life, we pray, and restore his strength. Because you gave your son to bear our infirmities and sicknesses, deal compassionately with your servant and bless him with your healing power. We commit him to your gracious mercy and protection through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted to our sister Kathleen during her life, especially for calling her to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort the survivors who mourn her death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a happy reunion in heaven. Lead all of us to remember that we are mortal, so that we will ever prepare our hearts to fall asleep in faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give them rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impatience and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Lift up your hearts.
thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name evermore, praising thee and saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, our Lamb of God. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death, forgive us our sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. Take and drink. The true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
Jesus Christ,
given unto death,
for the forgiveness of your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you as the remission of your sins. Take and drink.
Savior, hear my prayer. All men.
take and drink. This is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
Thank you.
source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.